Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs 31. You know, say, is that the only place in the Bible that has to do with Mother's Day? No, it's not, but it's a good reminder. And so please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God if you are physically able. Proverbs 31, we're going to begin in verse 10. And I'd like you to read out loud with me on the even verses. I'll read by myself on the odd verses. And for those of you that are new to our church, we do that because you are all such a nice, even-tempered people, and I am odd. So I get to read the odd verses, and you get to read the even verses with me. So let's begin in verse 10 here in Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And as we look at that, just that last verse there, today I want to talk to you about honor thy mother. The Bible tells us much about honor. It tells us much about mothers. We need to kind of understand the two and what that means for us as the Christian and our relationship with our families here on this earth. In verse 31, once again, it says, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Here in Proverbs 31, we're shown just a beautiful example of what a lady means to a home, what she means to a husband. And listen, he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Okay? Come on, men. You should have amen there. All of you, I mean, ladies, you should be poking your husband. See, the preacher said I'm a good thing. It indeed is that way. And listen, children, you ought to be thankful for mother. And again, we're not talking about need of perfection or that mothers are not without error or able to make mistakes, because they do. They're human just like anyone else. But we need to make sure that honor is given to whom honor is due. The Bible talks about that, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But the Bible says that strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And so today, as we kind of look at this, I want to look at the word honor. And obviously, and first and foremost, you understand that honor is due unto God. God is the one to be honored, to be praised, to be esteemed, to show an expression of respect or high estimation by words or actions. It's dignity. It's exalted rank or place. It's distinction. And certainly God has that above all. But can I tell you something? In the realms of our family relationships, mother and father are to be honored. It is a place of distinction. And listen to me. Why are you preaching this today and in this time? Our world has lost that, folks. Yeah. Have you seen how this generation treats their parents? It's shameful. There are some things that make my blood boil. That's one of them. I just despise it when I go out in public and I see some little 2x squirt fussing at mama. I just want to go over there and go, whoosh. Just squish them. I just can't stand it. I've told you before about different dealings I've had and with people disrespecting parents. Listen, I just can't take it. I don't mind if somebody disrespects me, on a personal level, but don't disrespect my wife. And when I was a principal, I told the kids, you can try to disrespect me all you want, but don't you dare disrespect one of my lady teachers. You will be over with. Game over. No more quarters. You're out of time. That's just something I don't put up with very well. But you know, understand that mom in Scripture is told to be honored. She holds a place of honor. I mean, think about it. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your mother. My mom is on record. I wish she was here today. We could get her online and FaceTime with her. She has been recorded many times to say, "Son, I brought you into this world, and I can take you out of this world." Okay? That's why the pitchfork and the shotgun. Okay? that was a signification of what my mother had told me in my lifetime. And because I did some things to dishonor mother. We all have, haven't we? Listen. But mom and dad have a place of honor. God has given them a place of honor. There are parents. Hey, listen, folks. You didn't get to choose your parents. God gave them to you. And if you will, parents, you didn't get to choose your children. God gave them to you. You're like, why, God, why? Okay. But it's a trial of love and patience. But listen, mothers are special. Mothers are special. Mothers are deserving of esteem. They're deserving of respect. Maybe not so much as to the individual person that they are, but rather the position that they hold. Because they're a mother. They deserve honor. God says in His Word to honor thy father and thy mother. So I want to talk about these things, about what God says in His Word about honoring mother. First of all, we ought to honor mother with our words. With our words. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus said, "For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such things do ye." Over in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus says, "For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." You see, the people of Israel had gotten to a place where it was okay to dishonor your parents as long as you paid the tax or paid the gift to get out of it. They had instituted a system to take care of that issue. The Bible says that he that curseth his father or mother, let him die. That's rough. I used to take kids over to Deuteronomy when I was in the Christian school, and I would talk to them about, hey, look, if you are against your parents, the Bible says you're to be stoned to death. And I'm the first to admit I probably wouldn't be here if that Old Testament law was in place. But we don't take it seriously anymore to honor our parents. We just say whatever we want. We speak whatever we want with no punishment, with no negative effects. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. Our words to especially our mother, but to our parents, ought to be words that are honoring words, not dishonoring words. I mean, how many times have you been told in your lifetime, don't sass your parents? Don't talk back to your mom and dad. How many times have you heard kids say to their parents, I hate you? You don't know how I'm feeling. They speak back and they talk back to their parents. Where does that come from? It comes from the devil. It comes from the devil. Parents have a place of honor in God's eyes. And we ought to honor them with our words. Jesus, speaking about this, says, look, you've made the word of God of none effect by your tradition. You're hypocrites. And you know what? The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaketh. So when we talk about words that are honoring to our mother, we have a heart problem if we're uttering things that are dishonoring to our mother. We need to get that right. We need to get it fixed. And that needs to be dealt with through the Holy Spirit of God. You understand that the Bible teaches the principle. Again, this is not a verse, but the principle of we ought to be careful what our mouth says. We teach a little song in Sunday school, right? Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. You know, words hurt. They cut. When once you say them, you can't take them back. There was a story, I think I may have told this illustration before. There was an individual in a church that had said some things in gossip toward another family in the church, and it had caused a big problem. And this individual was genuinely sorry for what they had done, and they went to the pastor and they said, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I have said this thing, and I want to know how to fix it. So the pastor reached behind his desk and he got a pillow. And he took the pillow out and he gave him the pillow. He said, look, I want you to take this pillow and I want you to go out in the parking lot and I want you to rip it open and I want you to send all the feathers in the pillow flying. He said, okay, Pastor, I'll go do it. And they took the pillow, went outside and they ripped the pillow open and they tossed all the feathers. And they went in there and they came back into the office and they said, okay, I did it. Now what? They go pick up every single one. He said, that's impossible. He said, exactly. You can't get all your words back. They do the damage. And listen, folks, our words do damage. We need to speak honorably to our mother, to our parents. You know, it's something that God wants us to do. God wants us to treat each other with respect, with honor, and with love and with care, and with a heart that is full of kindness and honor and love and praise. Listen, that's how our lives are supposed to be. Our tongue is forked. It's wicked. It's evil. It cuts and it burns and it hurts if we let it. But it can also praise and honor and heal, and it can do those things too if we let it be controlled by God Almighty. Our lives need to be controlled by God. We need to honor Mother with our words.
In Proverbs chapter 20, Solomon writes and says, "Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." We ought not to curse mom and dad. We ought to bless mom and dad. We ought to honor our parents. In Proverbs chapter 30, it says, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men." We certainly need to be careful of the things that we say. And the Bible encourages us to honor our mother and father, to honor those that are in authority over us, because they are due that honor. The first way we need to make sure we honor mother is with our words. But you know what? In a way, shape, or form, words are cheap. And I don't mean to kind of degrade what I just said, because it's important. But guess what I'm talking about? Empty words. In other words, words that are just said without the heart behind it. Didn't Jesus acknowledge that? He said, "Hey, with my lips, you worship me, but your heart is far from me." There needs to be some substance behind our words. Don't just flatter your parents. Don't just honor them with lip service, but rather with your actions. You know, our actions are worth a lot of words. If a picture is worth 1,000 words, your actions are worth 10,000. How about that? You know, our actions matter. Not just what we say, but what we do. Didn't James address this in the matter of faith? Faith without works is dead, being alone. Can I tell you something? Honoring your mother with your words without the actions behind it is dead, being alone. Oh yes, we need to be careful what we say, how we say it, why we say it, all of those things. We ought not to curse our mother and father. We ought to bless them. We ought to praise them. We ought to give them the honor they're due. But we need to not just do it in word, but in deed. In our actions, in our life. Remember the story of the rich young ruler as he came to Jesus and was asking about eternal life. He said unto Jesus, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Guess what that is, folks? Action. This is a man of action. He honored his parents. He didn't do these wicked, sinful things. He lived his life according to God's law. And I'm sure he was an upstanding Jew. He said, "All these things have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." This rich young ruler, I'm sure, no doubt, was a good man. And he honored his father and mother. And I'm sure that he was, if you will, proud of his family name. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. We ought to have the kind of life and the action of life that brings good honor to our family name. I mean, we talk about this concerning our Heavenly Father, right? As a Christian, what are we supposed to do? Live our lives in such a way that will bring honor to the name of God. Who wants to be the Christian that's the rebel? That wants to dishonor the name of God in every way, shape, or form in their life? I hope nobody. But you know what? When I was a kid growing up, my mom and dad would often tell me, son, you're a Combs. We don't do those things. We don't say these things. We don't go these places. Because it will bring dishonor on our family name. Son, we're Christians. We don't drink. We don't smoke. We don't carouse. We don't do these things. We honor God. We're Combs. We're not so-and-sos, and we're not so-and-sos. We have a family name to uphold, to honor. Folks, we need to honor God and honor our parents with our actions. Obviously, this man was a good young man. He honored his mom and dad by not committing adultery, by not killing, by not stealing, by not bearing false witness, by not committing adultery. He lived a good life. He followed the commandments of God. And that was honoring to his parents. In Exodus chapter 20, Moses, and in Deuteronomy 15, 16, Moses says these in two ways, and I want to read them both for you for this reason. He says in Exodus 20, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Isn't that interesting? When we bring honor to mom and dad in our life, God says that our days may be long. Isn't that interesting? You ever wonder why someone's days are cut short? Maybe it was because they didn't honor mom and dad with their actions. And then in Deuteronomy 5, he says this, almost the same. He says, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged. See, we've heard that before, right? But then he says this, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So not only are you going to have long days, but you're going to have days that are going well. You know, who wants to have a hard time in life? Anybody? No, who wants a whole bunch of stumbling blocks in the way and just disaster after disaster after disaster after disaster? Anybody want to do that? No, of course not. We want to have a nice, smooth road, right? We don't want bumps in the road. We don't want disasters and difficulties in our... He says, hey, if you want to have a good, long life, honor thy father and thy mother. In Ephesians chapter 6, you know this passage of scripture. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Hey, what is obey? It's an action. It's an action. How do we honor mom and dad? Obey. You know what I long for my children to do each and every day? Obey. If they would just obey, the rest of the day would go well. You know what? Their life might be longer, and it may be well with them if they would just obey. The bumps in the road and the shortening of life comes from disobedience. I've said on more than one occasion to one or two of my children, I don't know if you're going to make it past 18. And I really don't know if they are or not. Obviously, Anna's 18, so she wasn't one of the ones that I was worried about. Way to go, Anna. You're a functioning adult. Hallelujah. Listen, the Bible's true, is it not? So he says if we honor our parents with our actions, which is obedience, right? My mom says, when I say jump, I want you to say how high. We ought to go. Why? I don't want to. I don't care. Do it anyways. You don't need to know why. Just do. I've told you about children before that if they're under the age of 10, they don't need to know why. They just need to do. Okay? Just do what I say. It's important, okay? Because you know what I don't want? I don't want my 7-year-old wandering out in the street and I say, stop! And they look back and say, why? That's why. Because you just got hit by a car. I want you just to obey. You know, as kids grow older, They need to know why. They need, because they're going to be adults one day. They need to be. They need to understand what's going on, why we do what we do. They need to adapt it and take it on as their own. So that they, when we train up a child in the way they should go, they'll know what they're talking about. Why do you believe this? Why do you believe that? Well, mom said this, dad said this. Well, that's why. No, well, what basis is that? I mean, that's important, but you understand obedience is better than sacrifice. It's better to obey than to have to sacrifice because you disobeyed. Folks, listen to me. Obedience is best. It's best. You want to honor somebody? Obey them. You want to honor somebody? Do what they say to do. Don't give them grief. Don't say, well, blah, 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 blah. And don't do this too. The little kid that's in church, his mom says, Bobby, sit down. I don't want to. I said, sit down, son. No, I don't want to. Son, if you don't sit down, I'm going to take you out of church. Fine. Looks at his mom. I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Is he obeying? No, he's not. See, but he's sitting down in the pew. Yeah, but he's standing up on the inside. Folks, we need to obey. We need to serve our God that way. We need to put that on to our parents. He says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. You understand that this is the first commandment with promise, Ephesians says. What promise? That thy days may be long on the earth, right? And that it may go well with thee. That's a promise. He says that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Where does that come from? Deuteronomy and Exodus. Paul is telling the people, listen, we need to obey our parents. We need to honor our mother and father. That verse I referenced earlier in Romans 13, it says, render therefore to all their dues. Now, this, of course, is talking about authorities in general and pastors in general. But it does go with parents. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. You know, the family was the first institution that God established. Adam and Eve were made husband and wife, right? The two, they became one. And guess what happened shortly thereafter? Children! Seems to be the case. I don't know anything about that. Now, the family. The family unit is very important to God. He says, honor to whom honor, that's what's to be given. And God has established mom and dad as the authorities of the home. Hey, don't listen to what the world tells you today. You know what the world tells us today? Children are the authorities of the home. That's backwards. Ain't no child, I'm going to use bad English, all you brace yourselves. Ain't no child of mine going to tell me what to do. No, I mean, I better be cold and dead, and I'll probably still raise up from the dead and tell them they can't do it. They're not going to tell me what to do. I have this plan. I think I'm going to plant a little spring thing in my coffin. And just at a certain point in the service, I'm going to go. Just to give everybody a rise, okay? We'll get some shouting going on there. Right, Brother Camp? No. But we've got to live our lives. Obedience is very important. Honoring our parents is very important. In Proverbs 1, Solomon says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. To listen to what mom and dad say, and to obey the law of mother. You know what? I had a bus route when I was a kid. or in the ministry, if you will, in Bible college. I guess I wasn't a kid. I was an adult. But I had this bus route, and I had a bus route in a predominantly black neighborhood. And there was a bunch of folks, and I mean this with all due respect, we had these three little kids that came on our bus. And there was a set of twins, Jeremiah and Jeremiah. That was their names. And then and their little brother's name was Jomonte. And let me tell you something. Jomonte was about 6 or 7 years old. He was a handful. he'd bounce all over the bus, and he'd be causing all kinds of destruction. And I just have to look at him and say, Jomonte, sit down. Oh, come on, Brother Combs, you know, Jomonte, sit down. I'm going to tell your mama. His eyes would get this big. No, Brother Combs, don't tell my mama. I'll be good, I promise. Well, one day he got to be acting up just so bad. He wouldn't listen to anything. I don't know if he had a candy bar or what he had for breakfast. I have no idea. But I got home and I said, Jomonte, I've had enough. I said, I'm telling your mom. No, he chased me from the bus. Begging me, pleading. No, don't tell my mom. I got to the door and I rang the bell. I said, ma'am, I got to tell you about Jomonte. Jomonte, get in here! His life was over. Okay? Jomonte didn't give me any trouble after that. Hallelujah. But listen, we need to honor our mother and father. We need to have that kind of respect for them. The law of mother. You know, I wish I would have treated my mom with more respect than I did as a kid. I just have that regret. But we ought to learn this principle and pass it on to our children. In Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon says, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." You know, it's so funny that over and over again, we are associating honoring our parents with living. It's a good way to live life, by honoring our parents. Now quickly, let me say the third thing. Not only should we honor our mother with our words and with our actions, but honor her with our life for God. You know what a mother wants? A mother wants success for her children. And true success is only found in serving God. That's what a mother desires. And a mother that's saved, the mother that has trusted Christ as her Savior, wants her children to trust Christ as their Savior. Above all things, she rejoices when her children come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And listen today, if you're a mother here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, let me encourage you, today you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. But you may be a mother here today that does know Jesus as their Savior. And maybe you have some children that are struggling with this, or maybe have not yet come to the age where they've trusted Christ as their Savior. Keep praying for them, Mom. Keep praying for them. There's a song that talks about it's a true story about a biker guy that living a life of rebellion, and out on a road one night comes to a circumstance and somehow situation where he gets saved. And he goes over to a payphone at a place and calls home to Mama and thanks Mama for praying for him. And how he remembered all the nights that he heard his mother's prayers in the other room. And how he wanted just to let her know that he had gotten saved and then he'd given his life to God. You know, what a great story. And boy, a mother's prayers certainly are that her children be successful, but not just successful, but live a life that's worthy and pleasing to God. Amen. You know, Ruth chapter 2. Ruth is a great story. I know, Brother Losa, you've been studying through this recently. We've talked about it. But in Ruth chapter 2, Boaz acknowledged something about Ruth. He said unto her, "It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You know, the works of Naomi, of Ruth, toward Naomi were known to everybody. What she had done, how she had behaved herself, how she had honored her mother-in-law. She did it because she loved her and because she loved the God of her mother-in-law. She told Naomi, remember, when they left, thy God shall be my God. Thy people, my people. And she meant it. And folks, we can serve the Lord together as a family, and a mother's joy is when her children serve the Lord. When her children come to know the Lord as their Savior. You can honor your mother by living your life for God. What greater joy could a mother have than her children serve the Lord? Take your Bibles, if you would. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 10. We don't have time to go through all of it. But I want you to notice something here that Solomon says to his son Rehoboam. In Proverbs chapter 10, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. He that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. You can actually go through and read all the rest of this psalm, or this proverb, and you can see the relationship between an individual who serves God and an individual who serves himself, the devil, the world, etc. Positive on one side, very negative on the other side. And did you notice what Solomon said? He said, a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. There's a wonderful verse in the Bible that says this. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The foolish are those that despise God, that disavow God, that don't acknowledge God. That is a fool. You know what fools do? They're the heaviness of their mother. They cause shame to their mother. A fool. One who says there is no God. One who says there is no punishment. One who says there is no right or wrong, no up or down, no absolutes, no salvation, no heaven, no hell. A fool has said in his heart there is no God. You know what brings praise and glory and honor to a mother in her life? One who says there is a God. One who acknowledges God. One who chooses to serve God, to follow God, to be with God all the days of his or her life. In Proverbs 23, Solomon writes again, it says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Do you notice there that the foolish child brings shame, the foolish child brings heaviness, but the wise child brings joy and fulfillment to the mother. In Proverbs 15, Solomon says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Now we're getting personal. So not only does the foolish child bring shame and heaviness to his mother, but also despite. Sounds like the foolish son is not the kind of son a mother would like. or be pleased with. Now, look at Proverbs 19, verses 23 to 29. It says this, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. So how are we going to be satisfied and fulfilled in our life toward God is by following God. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. What is life associated with? Remember, we just talked about it. Honoring our father and mother, that it may be well with thee. Guess who's our heavenly Father? God the Father. He says, shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Smite the scorner, and the simple will beware. Reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. He that wasteth his father, and chaseth away his mother, is a son that causeth shame, and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments also are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. Today I just want to accentuate the relationship of honoring our earthly authorities, our parents, with our words, with our actions, and with our life for God. But I want to bring it into light of our relationship with God as well. Because God is our Heavenly Father. God is our ultimate authority. Our parents are just a picture of that in our lives, here on this earth. And guess what? If you can't have any honor for your parents, how are you going to honor God? If you can't have these relationships right down here, how can you say this relationship is right? You just can't. You can't have it both ways. You say, well, I'll honor my parents, but I won't honor God. Okay. He's an authority. They're an authority. How's that possible? You say, well, I'll honor God, but I can't honor my parents. you can't have it that way either. It's either all or nothing, folks. We need to learn from the scriptures what it says. A testimony of esteem. An expression of respect, of high estimation, by words or actions, dignity, exalted rank, or place and distinction in our life. Honor thy father and mother. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Moms need to be honored. It's a joy to be able to honor moms today. And listen, folks, we need to make sure we have our relationships right with the people on this earth. If your mom's not here today, and or if she's still on this earth with us, and you can have a time to call her and talk to her and honor her, you ought to. Maybe some things you need to get right. Now, if mom's already passed on, there's nothing you can do about that. But you can go to the Lord and get things right with Him. God wants us to have right relationships. Honor to whom honor is due.